Well, let's go forward with our thoughts from the Bible this morning, and we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2. So I hope you have your Bibles with you, and you will open them to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to be continuing our series of lessons that we've had at the beginning of each month, Blessings for the Bride. Blessings for the Bride. When thinking about the blessings for the bride, we have looked at Ephesians chapter 1. We've studied through that. We've noticed so many blessings that are for the bride and the bride alone. Remember how we have pictured at the beginning of each one of these lessons a wedding. And there is the wedding reception and the cake on the table and another table with mounds of presents that are there for the bride. And someone comes into the reception from outside and starts opening the presents and looking through them and sorting through them and saying, I'm going to take this and I'm going to take that. And immediately someone stops them and says, what are you doing? These are not your presents. These presents are for the bride and the bride alone. No one else has right to these things, and rightfully so, because those are intended only for the bride. Now, when we think about the Bible and the New Testament and the teaching that we have in Scripture about Christ and the church, about whom we have just sung, we see that the blessings that are given are for the bride. And as we study through the book of Ephesians, we see so many great blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed the bride with these things. And this morning, as we think about blessings for the bride, we're going to be thinking about the blessing of salvation. And specifically, Ephesians chapter 2, and verses 8 through 10. Let's look at those verses and read them together. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The bride is blessed with salvation. That's what this is about here. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. We should emphasize that he is writing to Christians and talking to Christians when he talks about Christians being saved. His purpose is to write to them about the glory of God in the church. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. He emphasizes that those who are in the church have been brought out of bondage into salvation in verses 1 through 3 here of Ephesians chapter 2. And he says that God did this by having mercy upon us, by loving us and making us alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5. And then he says that this whole process of having mercy on us, loving us, making us alive with Christ is the process of being saved by grace. And that leads us to our text that we just read this morning. So as we look through Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10, we're going to notice four things. First of all, the bride is blessed with the source of salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God is the source of salvation. Secondly, the substance of salvation. By grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is the substance of this salvation that we have. We see the selflessness of salvation. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation does not come from me. Salvation does not come from you. And then the state of salvation. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's talk about the great blessing of salvation for the bride. The bride is blessed, first of all, with the source of salvation. For by grace are you saved. It is the gift of God. This gift originated from God the Father. John 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world. He originated this salvation. He is the one who brings the plan. For by grace have you been saved. It is the gift of God. This gift came through Jesus Christ. Romans 5 verse 15 says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." The gift by grace, Jesus Christ. This grace was revealed through the Holy Spirit. Salvation originates from the Father. It came through Jesus Christ and is revealed through the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 3 and verse 5, "which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all participated in this salvation. God is the source of salvation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we think about the blessings for the bride, we see that God is the source and that he, from time eternal, had a plan so that man could be saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God. But then secondly, we see the substance of salvation. By grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. That word substance is used in conjunction with faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance. It stands under. It is the place where the rubber meets the road. As you read through Hebrews chapter 11, you see the many instances of faith. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham journeyed from his homeland. By faith, Moses, and on and on and on. The great heroes of faith are mentioned in that chapter. And it was their faith then that prompted them to do the things that they did. Faith is the substance. We are saved by grace through faith. It has been said, and I think rightfully so, that grace is God's part of salvation. That part of salvation that God and God alone can only do. And that faith is man's part of salvation. That part which God requires man to do. And if that is the correct assessment, and I believe it is, then that means that the idea or concept of faith in the Bible is not just a mental acknowledgement, but rather that faith is an ongoing practice of demonstrating one's trust in God. Faith acts. It is not merely a mental construct. Faith picks up where the Holy Spirit leaves off. Think about Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And we read about the idea that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we get the Word of God? By inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We have that Word, and now it is up to us to believe what is written and to act on that belief. Faith must then trust God's Word. Look at Romans 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Think about the process. The gospel is preached. Those who hear that message then have an opportunity to believe it. And when they believe it, they then have an opportunity to act upon that belief. That is to call upon Him. And so faith must trust God's Word. And it must act upon God's Word. Romans 10 and verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know that calling upon the name of the Lord is not the same as believing, because believing comes before calling. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? One must believe before he can call upon the name of the Lord. And what is calling upon the name of the Lord? It's defined in Acts 22:16. Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That is how we call upon the name of the Lord. And so faith is the substance. By grace are you saved through faith. Saved by grace, God does His part. Through faith, man does his part. What does man do? He hears the word, believes it, repents of his sins, confesses Jesus as his Lord, and is baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Saved by grace, God's part. Through faith, man's part. Faith and action are combined. And when that happens, we will not have a dead faith, but a living and an active faith. James 2 and verse 20 says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. A faith that does not work is a dead faith, the substance of salvation. By grace are you saved through faith. The bride is blessed with the substance of salvation. The bride is blessed with the selflessness of salvation, and that not of yourselves, not of works, that no man should glory. But Kevin, I thought you just said that faith has to work. Yes, I did. But Paul said, not of works. What is Paul talking about? We must understand that Paul is talking about works in which a man may glory, not of works that no man should glory. I cannot glory in the plan of salvation as it is revealed in the scriptures here. Why? Because it's not my plan. I cannot glory in baptism. Why? Because it wasn't my idea. It's the kind of works in which a man could glory that don't save us. What might that be? Well, think about Naaman, for example, in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5, I believe, who had leprosy. And one of his servants said, there's a prophet in Israel who could heal you of this leprosy. Why don't you go ask him? And he said, I think I will. And so Naaman goes down to Israel and he meets with the king there. And the king says, who am I? I can't do this. I'm not God. And he says, well, just show me where this prophet is and I'll go find him. He says, okay, he's over there. So he goes to the prophet, and the prophet says, you go and you dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, that's not what Naaman wanted to hear. He wanted to hear, why, go and conquer these armies, or go and do this great heroic deed something that he could glory in. You see, he could not glory in dipping in the Jordan seven times. If he were to tell someone back in Syria, where he came from, how did you get healed of your leprosy? Oh, I dipped in that nasty Jordan River seven times, that sewer river, because that's basically what it was. It drained everything, all the sewers of all the habitations down into the Dead Sea. Seven times. And he even said, you know, why do I have to dip myself seven times in that old nasty Jordan River? I could go back to Syria to the rivers that are there, the Abana, the Farfar. They are pure mountain streams. Those are so much better than the Jordan River. But you see, that would be something in which he could glory. Look at our great rivers that we have in Syria compared to that old nasty Jordan River. But the prophet said, dip yourself in the Jordan River seven times. He could not glory in that. Why? Because it came from God, not man. The selflessness of salvation, not of works that no man should glory. The Bible says, Jeremiah 10 verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Over and over again, this message is given to us. We don't originate our own salvation. It must come from God. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29 says, But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the things that are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Why did God choose baptism? For one reason, so that no man could glory, that no man could glory. Because there certainly isn't anything in me that by submitting myself to the ignominious process of being dipped in water that I may accomplish. Nothing in me that I may accomplish by doing that. It's selfless. The selflessness of salvation, not of works, that no man should glory. Think about Isaiah 64 and verse 6. If we were to try to invent our own system of righteousness, it would be but filthy rags, because we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I of myself cannot tell God what I need to do in order for me to be saved. God must tell me what to do. And I must submit to his will. The selflessness of salvation. Romans 10 and verses 1 through 4, Paul talks about those Jewish brethren of his who believed in their own righteousness. He says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. They didn't submit themselves to the righteousness of God. How do we know the righteousness of God? Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. That's how we know it. That's how we can submit to it. How do I submit to the gospel? The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. How do I submit to that? By being buried into the likeness of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is selfless. It is not of our own merit. When we obey, when we do what God tells us to do in His Word, there is no merit in that. There is no profit in that. Why? Because we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. That's what Jesus is saying here in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. We have nothing of which to glory. The church is blessed with salvation, but not in which we may glory. Therefore, all glory goes to God. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 through 31. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's where our glory should be, in God. Baptism does none of these things. It is given by God through the Word of God, the source of faith, Romans 10 and verse 17. Baptism is a passive act that one submits to. That's why the command is always be baptized, because you must submit to it passively. You're not really even doing anything yourself. It is a work that God Himself does, according to Colossians 2, verses 11 through 13. In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith. How? In the working of God. Baptism is a demonstration of faith in the working of God. In the working of God to do what? Who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's the faith that we have when we're baptized. The faith in the working of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and is raising us up to have a new life, having been forgiven of our trespasses. The working of God. And so in no way can anyone say that baptism is a work of merit. It is not a work in which I can glory. It is not a work that originates with me, for it is there clearly in the Bible, having been revealed by God through the Holy Spirit. It is something that is passively done to me. I submit to it. I don't do it myself. It is a work that God does. He forgives me. He makes me alive. I don't do that. There is no glory to be had from being baptized other than the glory that goes to God. And when we are saved, we enter a state of salvation. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are the clay, and He is the potter. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? As the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. We are the vine, we are the branches, and He is the vine. John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We are the vessels, and He is the treasure. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And God then molds and shapes us through His holy word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, 4. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. John 6 and verse 63. The words that Jesus speaks. And if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you abide in Christ's word, John 8, 31 and 32, the bride is blessed with salvation. The source of salvation is God, for by grace you saved. It is the gift of God. The substance of salvation is faith. By grace are you saved through faith. The selflessness of salvation is that it is not of our own merit or of our own origination, not of works, lest any man should boast, not of the kind of works in which we can glory. The bride is blessed with the state of salvation. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Would you have the blessings of the bride in your life this morning? They're doing the very basic things we discussed that pertain to salvation. You can be a child of God. You can be a Christian, part of the family of God. You can be blessed with the blessings for the bride. If you have a need this morning to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to make it known now, while together we stand and while we sing.